Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's word for another day and see what he has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Matthew again, carrying our way through chapter 23 and looking at the seven woes of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at the first woe today. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking at verse 13 and 14. Or I should say just 13, because there is no verse 14. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourself nor allow those who would enter to go in. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, and we pray that you would bless it to us, use it to nourish us, feed us, that we might delight in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I should comment, if you're wondering where verse 14 is, it's because, well, obviously there used to be a verse 14, but what's happened is, and you'll see this in a few different places where there seems to be a verse missing, it's not because the ESV translation just accidentally missed verse 14 or skipped a number, it's because in older versions of the English text, there was a verse 14 there, and you actually see in your footnote, if you have a look, if you've got a Bible in front of you, and on my Bible has a footnote for number 4, and down the bottom it says, some manuscripts add here, or after verse 12, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you will receive the greater condemnation. So back in the older translations, like the King James Version, you'll see it there. And what's happened is, they've had the English translation with the best manuscripts. What a manuscript is like a word for an older, different sort of portions of the Bible in Greek. And they've had them all there. But then when they had the Dead Sea Scrolls discovered, which had contained a lot of very good quality manuscripts and information, they discovered that when they looked through the text, actually the most reliable texts didn't contain that. And so they removed it. And so if you're wondering why they didn't just skip 14 and go straight to 15, it's so that all of the verses line up with previous translations, so that you don't have a situation where you read from the front, we're looking at 23 verse 14, and you're reading a different verse than the person sitting in front of you. So that's the reason behind that. But leaving that aside, we're considering the woes of Jesus. Not that they're Jesus' woes, but obviously they're the woes that Jesus utter towards the hypocrites, the Pharisees and the scribes. And number one, what does Jesus address? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, what are they doing? Shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. They refuse to enter themselves and they don't let anyone else go in. What's Jesus addressing? Now, I said last time we were together that we're going to see each of these woes from two angles, from the angle of the teacher and from the angle of the receiver, the one receiving the teaching. So what does this mean for the one that receives? Let's start for them, the one who receives the teaching. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes were teaching people, and people were not being allowed to enter in. They were intentionally missing out on the truth of the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus is highlighting here for those who are listening is that they must be aware that there is a truth out there and they must work to receive it. In other words, there is a way to enter the kingdom of heaven. There is a way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and it is put before us. And the question is whether we will enter. It's something that we've seen in the Gospel of Matthew numerous times, isn't it? Over and over again. Jesus is calling people to come and enter the kingdom of heaven. But unfortunately, very often in our lives, there are people who want to distract us from that. There are people who want to get in the way from us obtaining the truth, receiving the truth. And you'll see this in a lot of different ways. You can see it in false religions, where the false religious teachers will teach numerous different things. And all of them distract people away. We see this in the way the devil works. Think of the parable of the four soils. There is the birds who come along and pluck the seed, which is the devil, Jesus says. He comes and he snatches away the word so that people can't receive it. This happens in a plethora of different ways, even in the church, where people will maybe subconsciously do things that will cause people to become hardened and blinded to the truth. So one way this happens is when Christians live unbiblical and unfaithful lives. And through the sin of Christians, it can cause other people. It can cause us other people to be blinded to the truth. And maybe you've spoken to a person about this before and someone said to you, oh, I know what you Christians are like. I knew one day and he did A, B, C, and D. And that, we have to guard ourselves against that. We have to be actively seeking the truth and actively seeking to enter the kingdom of God through the gospel. But primarily, Jesus is addressing an attitude in the Pharisees and the scribes, of course. What are they doing? Well, they're refusing to enter themselves. Jesus has been calling to them. He's offered them the gospel. He's been teaching. They've been there. They've had the opportunity to hear it all. And they refuse to enter. Now, it's one thing for someone to refuse to enter the kingdom. It's another thing for a person to refuse and to actively work to stop others. And this was something the Pharisees and the scribes did a lot. So think of the blind man. Remember the blind man in the Gospel of John? And you get that story where Jesus heals the blind man and the Pharisees and the scribes take him and bring him into their courts and they say to him, tell us about Jesus, tell us who healed you, and they have this conversation. And then they summon in the parents and they challenge the parents and the parents are unwilling to testify. And it tells us why. Because the Pharisees had already said that anyone who followed Jesus would be excommunicated. And that's exactly what happens to the blind man. So he is seeking to enter the kingdom of heaven and the Pharisees and the scribes actively work to stop that. They actively work to stop that. And Jesus says, woe to you. Woe to you who seek to stop other people receiving eternal life. And this is something we must be aware of. Maybe not as teachers. If you're a teacher, this is especially relevant to you, obviously, for preachers like myself. Our job is never to summon people to ourselves. Our job is always to summon people to Jesus Christ, eternal life, to the gospel, to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we can use what we've been given, that glorious role that we've been called to, we can use that as a way of stroking our own ego or of summoning people to the kingdom of Logan. And we must beware of that. We must always beware. And as a receiver of the gospel, you must beware that the person who is teaching you is not promoting his own kingdom, but is promoting the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven. But there are ways in which you can do this, even if you're not a teacher. Now, you may not actively teach people not to come into the kingdom, but through your life and action, you can either promote the kingdom of heaven for people, or you can cause people to walk away from it. From a very, very simplistic example of this, how do you actively greet a person who comes in the church who's a non-believer? An unbeliever comes in the church. Is the way you approach them, reach out to them, minister to them, welcome them into the church, does that promote them pursuing the kingdom of heaven? Or is their experience of you in the church something that's going to cause them to not want the kingdom? Or in your workplaces, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act, are those things that are going to distract people away from the kingdom? Or is it things that are going to promote people to enter the kingdom of heaven? See, most of us aren't in the situation of the Pharisees and the scribes, whereby we intentionally shut ourselves out and not allow others to enter, because most of us aren't in sort of roles where we can do that. But we all have a part to play. So if you refuse to tell people about Jesus, if you refuse to take up opportunities that are before you to tell people about the kingdom of heaven, in a sense, you're doing this very thing. Because you're refusing to allow them to enter by sharing the gospel with them. And it's a great reminder for us that we don't exist purely for our own pleasure in the kingdom of heaven. We also exist to promote that joy to the people around us, to enable other people to enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's two aspects to this speech for you and I. One is we ourselves must enter, but then secondly, we must be actively working to see other people enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's a glorious thing to be a part of. It's a glorious thing to be one little part, one little chain link in the chain of a person entering the kingdom of heaven. You know, I think it's going to be a wonderful thing when we enter into eternal life and when Christ returns and we finally get to see the reality of everything that's taken place. And we might get to meet people who we have played some small part in their coming to know Jesus. I hope for many of us, we will have many people to speak to who have been impacted by the way we've lived, the way we've talked it, that's good England, the way we've talked, so that they might enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this verse, this reminder, and we do pray that we may never stop other people coming into the kingdom of heaven, that through our actions, through our lives, through our godliness, we might be tools which promote eternal life. We pray that many people might come to know you through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. It's been great to be together. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon, same time, same place. God bless.